all this morning. Especially, I see some new faces here, and that's wonderful. And for those who are streaming live this morning, we want to welcome you. Those who are worshiping with us in your homes, in your condos, wherever you are. And we just want to say we love you as well. And we just pray that you sense the presence of God right where you are. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning as we continue our Dare to Pray series. This whole month has been dedicated and committed to prayer. We had a powerful time of intercession this past Thursday night. There was just, I had come in late, but there was just such a sense of the Holy Spirit here and intercession. It was powerful. God is definitely up to something. And part of what we are doing is we are challenging people to walk and pray. And when you came in, you saw some individual bags, and then there are maps of Sydney and the area, as well as a little keychain to remind us that when we are out for our walks to pray for our neighborhoods, to pray for its families, to pray for the businesses that make up Sydney and the peninsula. And we are believing that God is going to open up a great door of opportunity for us to bless this community that we love and that he loves so much. Where's OT? OT, thank you for leading in that song, the song that you wrote. That just fit perfectly. OT, thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And that's going to be a theme for us, I believe, in this new season. And I'll be asking you to sing that again soon. Praise God. How many remember the cartoon character Ziggy? There are a few of us remember that. It was my dad's favorite cartoon character when he would open up the education page in the Toronto Star. And it was usually the first page he would go to in the comics. And he would read to see what Ziggy had to say. Well, one day, Ziggy was standing up looking over a mountain into the dark sky. There was only one cloud up there, and Ziggy says, "Have I been on hold for the rest of my life?" Sometimes prayer seems like that, doesn't it? Last week, we looked at the patience of prayer in the life of Hannah. And this morning, we're going to look at one of the paradoxes of prayer. When God says no. How many, and I think all of us could attest to this, the times where we have prayed and prayed and prayed, but it seems the heavens are as brass, God is silent, and we are wondering, God, will you ever answer my prayer? After all, some would suggest if God is all-loving and all-powerful, then why won't he answer the prayer for his people as we think he should? And that's an honest question. I think we've all asked that question or have heard it asked at some point. And many of you here today have been pleading to God for years about various issues. You've been asking God to save your spouse, to repair that relationship with that prodigal child. You've been praying to heal your past and restore your marriage or to bring physical healing. And the more you pray, the longer you pray, it seems the pain gets deeper and deeper and the darkness gets darker and darker and darker. And you wonder, am I the problem? Is God mad at me? Do I not have enough faith? Do my prayers even matter? And to be brutally honest, sometimes the longer we wait, there is that sense of resentment. We look at others and we hear their testimonies of answered prayer and we wonder, well, why doesn't God do that for me? These are real feelings and real emotions. And it takes all that we have sometimes to keep our composure. And we just want to say, God, when will you ever hear me and answer my prayer? Well, I want to say a couple things right off the bat this morning. First of all, God has promised to answer prayer. David testifies to this in Psalm 91, verse 15. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 33, where it says, call to me and I might answer you. No, that's not what it says, is it? It says, call to me and I will answer you. In Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open to you. This is saying everyone, not just the perfect, not just the spiritual, not just the elders, not just the ones that we hear their testimonies. No, it says everyone. As Jesus says in John 14, 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Yes, God has promised to answer prayer. The thing that we have to realize is that, secondly, he's not going to answer in the way that we expect him to all the time. You look in the Old and New Testament and you find a plethora of examples of great men and women of God who are people of faith, and yet even when they prayed, it seemed God did not answer. Moses, Jeremiah, and even Paul. Does God answer prayer? Yes. Sometimes he says yes. Other times he says wait. Sometimes he says, are you crazy? All joking aside, sometimes he does say no. And that's how it was for the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 10, let's read it together and then we'll go through this and I'd like us to have some time to pray at the end of my message. Starting at verse 1 of chapter 12, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. And then in verse 2, he goes from the first person to the third person, which was a very typical literary device. He is still talking about himself. Even though he's talking in the third person, he is talking about what God did in his life. So listen to what he says. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why does God seem to say no? Well, let me suggest to you three things right off the bat. First of all, we need to remember that his perspective is wider than ours. He sees things that we do not see. God sees the whole picture that we only have a brief glimpse of. We have limited perspective, yet God sees from a wider view. It's as if it's the same as if you are driving up to the top of Mount Douglas. Well, I guess you can't drive there. You have to hike up to Mount Doug now. But as you come to the top there and you see Victoria and the peninsula from a greater perspective than you could ever imagine. And suddenly, things change about your view of our beautiful city and community and where we live. And that's how it is with God. We look up, but we cannot see what God sees. God sees into our future that we can't. God sees the stuff that we can't see. He sees around the curve. He sees 10 years down the future. He sees the implications of every decision that you and I make. Think about that for a moment. Hebrews 4:13 tells us that God knows about everyone everywhere. That includes you, it includes me, it includes your neighbors, it includes your kids, it includes your grandkids. And everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. We don't see it all, my friends, yet God sees it. And I have to be honest with you. There are times when I am asking God to show me the future, and then I am reminded, if he did show me the future, would I really want it? And sometimes God delays his answer because he sees what's ahead. And not only does he have a wider perspective than we do, but he has a better plan than we could ever devise. God often says no when he has a better plan for you. That includes everyone who is young this morning, everyone who is middle age, and everyone who is older than middle age. But God has a plan, and he hasn't stopped fulfilling that plan for your life. He has a plan, he has a perspective, and it is better than any of us could ever imagine. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55, verse 8, "This plan of mine is not what you would work out." How many can say amen to that? It's not what we would work out. It's not what we would design. "But neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than your ways." If you've got your Bible, I want you to circle that those two words, "my ways." God says, "My ways are higher. They're better than yours." Notice that it's plural. My ways are higher. God is never limited to one way of doing something. I had to think about that this week when I was studying and praying about this message. And it was like a water in the face moment when I realized that oftentimes I'm not getting from God because my feet are stuck in the ground, stubbornly waiting for him to answer the way I expect him to, the way he's always answered, but his ways are way beyond mine. And he has more than one way to answer us. Amen? And so we're thankful for that this morning. He's got a bigger perspective. He's got a better plan. And sometimes he says no because he's got a greater purpose. God always acts for good and in love for you to fulfill his greater purpose in your life. God will never let your prayers interfere with his purpose for you. Let me say that again. God has a purpose for your life. He's never made anything without a purpose. God will not let you interfere with your purpose through your prayers. For example, I've been praying all week, "God, give us a beautiful day." Yes, it's sunny. God must have fulfilled his purpose. But somewhere on the other end of the province, God has been praying, "God, send us rain. We need these fires burned out." What is God's purpose? The fact is, we have to get outside of our thinking what God's purpose is and get in line with what God's purposes are, because his purposes go well beyond what is going to satisfy us. Psalm 57, verse 2, David says, I cry out to God Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. Folk, God has a plan that he's working out, and he has a promise that he is working out for you that is going to continue now and into eternity. So let's not throw our hands in despair, thinking that he has forsaken us, thinking that he's left us, but God is going to answer you. And he's going to do it in fulfilling his purposes for you. Some of you are in a tough spot right now. Some of you have been asking and waiting for God to show you his purpose, and you've been wondering what that purpose is. Let me read from 1 Peter 1, verse 7. The purpose of these troubles is to test your faith. As fire tests how genuine gold is, your faith is more precious than gold. More than what you're praying about, more than what you're desiring, more than the escape you're waiting for from your problems, God is seeing something greater that he wants to do in you. God is seeing something greater that he wants to fulfill in you. God is doing something greater that he wants to do through you to bless others. And God sees what's greater is your faith in him. And so he wants you to grow in your faith. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're praying for, the one thing that God is going to do, he's going to develop your faith, and you're going to come out as gold. So what should I do when God says no? Three things, and I'm going to close. When you're facing that brick wall, when you're facing that empty sky, when you're facing the silent heavens, remember, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Trust that God does everything in goodness and in love. God does not do anything that's unloving. God does not do anything that's evil. God does everything that God does is for your good and his glory because he loves you. Never forget that, church. Never forget that. Psalm 25:10 says, all the ways of the Lord are loving. There are no unloving ways of God. He cannot act in a loving way, for God is love. Therefore, you can trust what the word says in Romans 8:28, in everything, not some things, but in everything, even the bad stuff, in everything, God works for the good for those who love him. Oh, how we need to remember that. How we need to trust in God who does everything in goodness and in love for our lives. And so God says no. And what we need to be careful of is that when that happens, Satan will start shooting his fiery darts of doubt at you. God doesn't love you. He doesn't care about you. Otherwise, he'd give you everything you want. He doesn't love you. Folk, remember this. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. He knows nothing of the truth. You see, you don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. So whatever you're going through this morning, don't ever forget this, that God is still holding you in his hands. And he still says, I love you. So when God says no, trust him. And secondly, when God says no, submit to him. Pray what Jesus prayed when facing the cross. And when I was preparing this week, I have to be honest, this really was an ouch for me. Because it's not easy. Jesus, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before he would be crucified, is praying with intense passion before his Father. And in Mark chapter 14, as he goes further into the garden, he falls to the ground in agony and he prays something absolutely audacious. He prays, if it is possible, remove what is ahead of him. He was facing crucifixion. He was saying, God, if it's possible, I don't want to die on the cross. If there's any other way for the salvation of the world, I don't want to die on the cross. You know, I think it's sometimes okay to express what you're really feeling. It's okay to say, I don't want cancer. I don't want surgery. I don't want a divorce. I don't want whatever. God, I don't want to do this. But listen to what Jesus prays. He prays, Abba, my Father. He prays one a most intimate prayer of relationship with his Father, calling him Abba, Daddy. He says, my Father, my Daddy, I know what's before me. I know all things are possible for you. Please take this cup away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done. Notice how Jesus prays. First of all, he affirms God's power. Father, I know you can do anything. All things are possible for you. We know that. God can do anything. And when you're praying, you're in that dark spot. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. The first thing to pray is acknowledge who God is. Affirm his power. Affirm his might. Affirm his faithfulness. And then ask in passion. Father, he prays, please give me what I ask. Father, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Jesus is praying passionately. But then noticeably, not only does he affirm God's power and asks with passion, but he accepts God's plan. However, Father, I want most what is your will, not mine. And that's the rub, isn't it? It's easy to pray. But if we want to go further into his presence, we need to come to that place of saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. I know you're able to do this. I know you're able to heal. I know you're able to provide. I know you're able to restore. But God, I submit my will to you. We need to be able to pray God's will. And then as we do, expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. Expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. In our passage we read earlier this morning, the Apostle Paul is in the latter years of his life in ministry, and he writes his second letter to the Corinthians, and he talks about this great testimony of how he had been exalted to the third heaven, and he'd be on the 700 Club and 100 Huntley Street circuit with this testimony, but that's not what he wanted his readers to hear. What he wanted his readers to hear is that God had a greater perspective for him, that God had a greater plan for him, that he was wanting to submit himself to God's greater purpose for him. He had been given a thorn in his flesh that he carried for years. And we don't know what that thorn was, but he prayed many, many times. He says here, three times. Basically, we could interpret that to say he prayed, and he prayed again, and he kept praying. Until finally God said, my grace is sufficient for you. It's all you need. For my power is greatest when you are weak. And so Paul writes, I gladly now boast about my weaknesses, my pain, my problems. Can you imagine this? He's just talked about that, you know, he had been exalted to the third heaven. He had seen all of these revelations. He had founded churches all through Asia Minor. I mean, he was the real deal. If he was around today, he would have his own TV studio, his own station, his own ministry. He'd be traveling the world with his testimony, but that's not the testimony that he wanted his readers to read, and that's not the testimony that he wants us to understand. He says, the greater testimony is this: I will gladly boast about my weaknesses, my pain, my problems, my difficulties. Why? So that Christ's power can flow through me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Hallelujah. He says, I'm gladly going to boast in my weakness. That's not going to get him on the TV circuit. No one wants to hear about someone's problems. But Paul's testimony was, it was in my pain, my problems, my difficulties. That's when Christ's power was made real in me. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. He's saying, I'm not going to go out in my own power. I'm going to go out in God's power in me. I have a confession to make this morning. I am a science fiction nerd. Always have been. And I've actually passed that on to my kids. And one of the evidences of that is that one of my favorite writings has been The Lord of the Rings. We have read that book as a family. I read it growing up. We had our kids read it. When the movies came into the theaters, we made our kids read the books until before we went to the movies. And then we'd talk about the movies. We'd talk about the books and what we felt Tolkien was trying to say. But in those movies, it was in the last film, towards the end of that last movie, and if you're unfamiliar with it, it takes place in a fantastical world called Middle Earth. And there is a evil Lord Sauron who wants to take over the world and cut and shroud it in darkness. And he has made a ring of evil that if he has it, he can control anyone in the world. Well, that ring got lost, but was eventually found by an unlikely source, a hobbit. Hobbits were tiny people who kept to themselves. They were farmers, and they really kept to themselves. They didn't bother with anybody. And it found its way into the hands of a young hobbit named Frodo Baggins. And he, along with their friends, were charged with taking that ring to Mount Doom, the mountain of fire, and they were to cast the ring into the fire where it would be destroyed and evil would be destroyed with it. And as they come to the end of the story, Frodo Baggins and his best friend Samwise, they have fought creatures of every imagination. They have survived wars. They have gone through so much terror and hurt. And yet Frodo now is at that point. He can't go any further. He has no strength left in him. And he wants to give up. And Samwise comes to him and says, Frodo, I can't carry your burden, but I can carry you. And I've never forgotten that phrase, because it reminds me of exactly what Holy Spirit does in your life. Samwise served as a wonderful example of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is our best friend, who is our comforter, who is our advocate, and he comes alongside. And in those times when we can't go any further, in those times when we're too weak, when it seems that the burdens of life have become overwhelming, he says, let me carry you. And he carries us to victory. And folk, I want us to know this morning that we can continue to pray, we can continue to trust, we can continue, because when we can't go any further, he will carry us. The perplexity of prayer is that God says no. But this is our point. It is in trusting his perfect plan, purpose and grace, that he reveals his strength over our weakness. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. And Father, I thank you that no matter where we find ourselves, you are there with us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we come to you this morning, I'm thinking of people who are watching this morning. I'm thinking of people who are here today, and they've been praying. We've been praying and waiting so long, and it seems that your answer continues to be no. But Lord, as we've seen in your word today, that you have a plan that is greater. You have a purpose that is greater. You see beyond what we can see. So Lord, we will trust you today. We will believe in you today. We will submit to your will today. And Lord, we will declare your glory and testify that even in our weakness, we are strong, not in our own strength, but because of your power flowing through us. Hallelujah. Lord, touch my brothers and sisters today in Jesus' name. If you're watching this morning, if you're here and maybe you're at that place and maybe you've known the Lord, you've walked with the Lord, but maybe you've just kind of been, maybe the reason why God's been silent is because you have. Maybe that silence has been because maybe you felt ripped off by God. Maybe you felt disappointed by God. But I want you to know this morning and be assured that God's going to answer you. Don't give up. And if you're feeling weak this morning, let him, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lift you up and give you the strength that you need to go that extra mile. Because as you walk in his will, as you trust him, he is going to say yes. And that's our next message. When God says yes, praise God. With the worship